I didn't unmute myself. I heard it. I'm just going to go with it. Who cares? I'm recording this at 2 a.m. for me. I'm doing a middle of the night game mess live. This one's actually going up to Twitch. Last time I did this, I just recorded it and put it up on YouTube. But I remembered other time zones exist. So it's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Is that good? Are we good? I'm good. We call it a game mess for a reason. That's absolutely correct. Okay. So really what I want to do here is the regular show, because I am going to be busy later today, but there's no reason to stop now. Although it does feel like the industry has sort of hit like the brakes a little bit. Felt like last week, a bunch of companies went last week with news. They announced stuff. We had a State of Play, Dying Light 2. There was a Sonic Central where a man in a Sonic suit was running next to Olympic athletes. One of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life. And then they were like, for those people who are into hip hop or something, and then they showed bling jewelry of Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, be still my heart. It was a wild week last week, right? And now this week in America, it was Memorial Day on Monday. And so most people had it off, and that means it's going to be a shorter week. That means there's going to be fewer chances for big things to happen. Doesn't mean big things won't happen. It does mean though that the industry overall has hit the brakes a little bit, taking a little break, and the first half this week might be a little slower than it was last week. We'll see. All right, looking at the list, I've added a few things. There's that Warhammer Skulls showcase on June 3rd. Let's see, what else did I add? Oh, yes, the gaming primetime on June 11th. Getting pretty good at that. And then where is it? There's something, there was another thing on here. Where is it? Not the Wholesome Game Show. Maybe it was the other thing I was thinking of was the Cock Gaming Primetime. Damn it. okay. Wow. All right. I'm going to figure out that one for YouTube. Let that one slip through. But basically what everyone cares about really is, when is Nintendo going to tell us when they're going to do the Direct? Now, they're probably going to do their Direct on Tuesday. They've always done it on Tuesday. That is the last day of this E3 as well, I believe. And so I think it's going to go on Tuesday. But we'll have to wait and see. Really, though, everyone is also hoping that we're going to hear about the Nintendo Switch Pro, Switch Plus, Super Switch, new Nintendo Switch, whatever you want to call it. Last week, a lot of people got their hopes up that we'd hear about it, including myself. I was hopeful that we'd hear about it. And the big reason for that, there was a Bloomberg report that said it could happen. Jason Schreier said it could happen. And then there was a lot of speculation that's like, if it's going to happen before E3, last week made a lot of sense for the aforementioned reasons of Memorial Day, right? We're going to be having a shorter week this week. Nintendo of America had a long weekend, so we'd probably hear about it that Wednesday or that Thursday of last week. That didn't happen, obviously. Does that mean we're not going to hear about it before E3? I'll be honest, I'm out of the loop on this one. I don't know. The last thing I heard about this Nintendo Switch, and this information was routed through a third-party publisher, is how I'll put it. I heard that they weren't expecting it till 2022, and this is a pretty big publisher. But this was before the Bloomberg report, and really, it's something I couldn't like get another source to confirm that, so I didn't feel comfortable coming out and saying that's what's going to happen, and that's not what I'm saying here. I'm not saying it's going to be 2022. I'm just saying that's the last thing I heard, and then we went to Bloomberg, and Bloomberg said, hey, no, it's not only is it 2021, we're going to hear about it before E3, so it can come out in September or October. And that's like, oh, wow, okay, that's a whiplash. I think what's happening here is, They probably will release it this year, but they might stagger the release globally or something. It might come out in 2022 in certain territories, like relatively major territories. I'm thinking of Europe here or Australia, and I'm sorry about anyone who lives in those countries. Australia is probably like, yeah, we're used to it. But Europe has been getting those worldwide releases recently. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think that's why maybe some of the messaging has been crossed here. Another like concern is, in terms of believing that it's going to come out in 2021 and relatively soon, is it seems like very few developers, if any, have heard about this Switch Pro. And that's not totally unusual, But it does mean that, like, to me, that makes it sound like if we get an announcement this week or next week before E3 for the Switch Pro, this is going to be Nintendo basically announcing it to developers. Yes, they're announcing it to the public and to consumers. We'll probably be able to pre-order it, whatever. They might give us a price, or they might just tease it and then talk about it more at E3. We'll see. But basically, it is them announcing it to developers, so then developers can come and say, hey, can we get that dev kit? And now Nintendo will be like, yeah, here's the dev kit, and there's no worries about spoiling and leaking and people compromising NDAs, because the information is already public. So, now, does that support the notion that the system could come out in September or October? I don't think so, but if Nintendo, it's the kind of system that doesn't need a lot of direct software support. It's going to run a lot of games better out of the gate. A lot of games that do use dynamic resolutions and frame rates, those games will be able to take advantage of the improved hardware, even if they don't get patches for DLSS. And it's likely that Nintendo will have some of their games ready to go, that, like, not just new games that take advantage of the Pro, but like older games that get patches to run even better on this new hardware. And that might be enough. And that might be enough, especially if you consider that it's going to be very hard to get. The system's going to be in limited supply, especially compared to demand, where demand has been off the chart for Switch and Switch Lite throughout this past year, especially like the $300 Switch. People who are really into games is an audience segment that is growing. The people that consider themselves gamers, like we are a cohort that is growing fast over this last year, and these people are still people with jobs and families, and they're busy, and the Switch fits into everyone's lives really well, and it's got a lot of great games coming out for it, and not just from Nintendo, but from specifically the indie side of things. If the Switch Pro is positioned to say, hey, all that stuff is going to run at least as well as it did, probably better, it's going to have a better screen, better battery life, it's going to be like quieter even, with like a less reason to use the active cooling when you're running most games. And it just looks more premium. It gets a slight revision. I think that's going to be just fine for selling to us, to the cohort that includes you and me. And in that case, you could release it in September or October with fewer of the systems actually really getting out there. And then as you get closer to Pokemon Arceus, I don't know. As we get closer to that, then really that's when production needs to really hit its stride and make sure that there's enough systems out there. So yeah, Switch Lite is going to be very big for Pokemon, but this is the Pokemon game for the big boys, right? This is the Breath of the Wild Pokemon game. This is the one that's going to sell to people who want to buy a $350/$400 maybe upgraded Switch. So yeah. This is a bunch of speculation. Don't write stories on this. Don't write story about the thing where I heard it's 2022 either. Because again, I couldn't verify that, or else I would have written the story. This is just me saying I got it from someone I trust. But even they were like, it was some kind of thing where I wanted to verify it before I went out there, because for good reason, I would want to verify that. And so I don't believe it's 2022. I think we'll get something in 2021. What else is there? Avowed. I want to talk more about Avowed. And I'll take questions here in a little bit. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We got almost 300 people watching here. It's 2 a.m. my time, so it's very strange. But I know most of those people are probably in Europe or elsewhere. But thank you. Avowed. People seem pretty certain that Avowed is going to be at E3. And I'm still in the camp where I heard it's not going to be. Now, does that mean for sure it won't be? Listen, things do change. It is called Game Mess for a reason. And I think some of that messiness is involved in the decision-making here, where these people aren't in the office with each other throughout this entire last year. And so when they make decisions early in, like in January, when they say, hey, what can you have for June? And Obsidian says one thing, and they're like, oh, could you have that ready? And they're like, yeah, yeah, sure. It's that sort of thing where they make a decision then, and they don't even think about like, oh, but we also want Avowed, or maybe we want Avowed even more. And then they check in months later, and it's like, oh, wait, you're not going to have Avowed? Well, damn, why not? And then they say, because you probably, because we discussed this in January, and we didn't talk about it again until now. And yeah, it's a mess. It is a mess. These are the kinds of things that happen. And does that mean that when they have that meeting, when they're prepping for E3 and they finally all get together and like, hey, what should we do? Oh, you don't have Avowed ready. Why not? Could they go back and then say, well, could we get something for Avowed ready? Could we put that on stage? We've got a couple of weeks. How realistic is that? It's possible. It's possible. Maybe they slide it in there. I haven't heard that is going to happen. And what I've heard is it won't be there. So that's why I'm sticking with that. And this is not to reflect on the state of the game. I can't remember who it was. A poster on Reset Era, who's trusted on these things, said it's in a good place, and that's why they would expect to see it at E3. And it's on schedule and all this stuff. And I think all of that is absolutely true. Obsidian is on top of their game right now. Obsidian knows what they're doing. They're handling multiple projects. They're gonna probably give us an update on Grounded at E3 as well with their smaller team. It's a team that's doing really well, but that is separate from creating assets specifically for a show. That requires dedicated planning, and it's not just a matter of, okay, take the vertical slice we're building for reasons and send it to a video editor and send it to E3. It's not how it works. Things don't just happen like that. You plan it a long time in advance. And you make sure that the part of the game you're going to show looks really good. And then you send it to a video editor. And these things take months. And typically, they take months. And so I think it's very unlikely that they will get that ready in the few weeks since they've kind of been having these discussions. But who knows? I would love to see Avowed. I would love to see Avowed, but I don't think it's going to happen. And again, that doesn't reflect on the game. The game's in fine condition. But we'll see. Let's talk about NVIDIA and AMD. I don't want to go too into this. I find that the audience that tunes in for these is typically not hardware nerds. You don't want to hear about, oh, there's new AMD 6000M GPUs for laptops that seem very exciting and very good, especially if you compare them up with those Ryzen chips. You get like really good battery life and gaming in a laptop. This stuff excites me, but I get it. You're not into it. I will say, though, the thing we should probably care about is that Fidelity FX Super Resolution. This is very exciting. Coming out June 22nd. They just announced that earlier today, or yesterday, I guess, as I'm recording this. For those who are unaware, Super Resolution is not necessarily AMD's DLSS, which is, you know, deep learning super sampling. And the reason it's not exactly that is it's not... Super Resolution is not deep learning. It's not machine learning. That's not how it's driven. There are algorithms involved, but basically it's trying to do the same. It's trying to tackle the same problem. Run a game at a lower resolution, upscale it in a way that it looks essentially like a native 4K image, but it is rendering at such a lower resolution that you could do something like run ray tracing on top of that and still get really good frame rates. Now, the big difference between AMD and NVIDIA's, other than the machine learning stuff, the big difference is that Super Resolution is open and runs on pretty much anything. And that means it even runs on NVIDIA GPUs. That's really weird. One of the things that they did was, one of the things AMD did was, show a game, a modern game running on a GTX 1060, a really popular NVIDIA GPU. And the game basically got 40% higher frame rate when they turned on Super Resolution. Now, of course, we're going to want to see what the image looks like. Do we lose any detail? How good does it look to get that 40%? That's all stuff once we run it through its paces and do the testing, we'll figure that stuff out. But on paper, that looks pretty impressive. Why this is relevant to you as someone who is very likely a console gamer watching this, Super Resolution will definitely work on PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. This is the kind of thing where it's so open. I think we, Microsoft was looking into machine learning and machine learning based image reconstruction and frame rate interpolation, things like that. And there was somewhere that Sony was doing something similar, but it didn't have the exact APIs built in to do this. It sounds like that's not going to be an issue. They're going to be able to just put super resolution onto these systems, and developers are now going to have a reason to adopt AMD super resolution, because you do that and you get better performance on PC, on NVIDIA GPUs as well, and then also on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, potentially even the Switch. The difference there is the Switch is going to use DLSS, with Switch Pro anyhow. We'll see how that works, and see if developers have to pick and choose there. I think in the end, you will get much better results from DLSS for now, likely for quite some time. But DLSS proprietary, it has to be run on NVIDIA hardware. It's a very good reason for developers to choose super resolution over that, because it's just so much more open. Okay. That's the stuff I wanted to talk about. What do you want to talk about? We're going to get into some questions here. First, though, I'm going to look at YouTube from last week real quick while you all think of your questions. You can at me, but it's going to take me a second to get over there. Let me just look at some stuff here. I wanted to just scroll through. People say E3's got them so hyped. Of course, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm pretty excited. Not having E3 last year and then having E3 this year, it's been pretty fun. Let's see. Yeah, from Charlotte, is WB Games going to be present at E3? I am really itching to see some new superhero and wizard video game shit. WB Games is going to be there. They are on the list. WB is on the list I have here for the E3 Digital Edition. What that looks like, I don't know. But my guess is that they, even with WB being spun off in all these in a million different directions because of the AT&T deal, I still think it is very likely that they will go through with showing off their games that are almost all of them coming out in 2022. I don't think that means that they're going to have the WB Games showcase. That seems very unlikely to me, but it seems the kind of thing where WB could have a bunch of trailers made up or gameplay demos or whatever and splice those in between the bigger shows. I see a bunch of people asking questions. I'll get to them very soon. I'll do just one more question here if there is another one I can find. Let's see. Oh yeah, this one. I would think that Perfect Dark is the closest to being done because Phil Spencer and his daughter played it. I think Perfect Dark is in one of those games that's in a really good state. But closest to being done is, compared to what? I don't know what the comparison is there. Maybe I said something specific and they're comparing it to that. I think that's very unlikely. The studio that made that game spun up in 2018 initially. Now, I bet they got some prototypes going really fast. It sounds like they were really happy with those prototypes, started turning them into a game. I remember when I said it was Perfect Dark, and a bunch of people were like, no, it's not. And I'm like, oh, God, maybe it's not. And I hesitated on that. But yeah, and they're like, well, let's make a Perfect Dark game. All right. But 2018 to 2021 is 3 years for a brand new studio. It's not ready to come out right now, and you do have stuff like Starfield coming out in 2022, and there will be some other stuff. They got Halo this holiday. You don't need to rush this game. I don't think maybe it is 2022, but I think it's still one of those games that's still 2023. Now, a lot of these games could be 2023, so to me that says maybe you push it out even further, but that's just me speculating that at that point. All right, let's go to the Twitch chat. I'm tired of keeping you all waiting. Okay, so there are a bunch of questions. I'm going to ask if you asked a question, I've missed it. Ask it again. Hit at Jeff Grubb, and I'll try to ask it answer it right now. From C Parks, 2 weeks out, who's the front runner to win E3? An absolutely absurd question, a silly question, and I will absolutely dignify it with a response because I'm silly and absurd myself. I think it's Nintendo. If Nintendo shows new hardware, shows Breath of the Wild 2, says, hey, a bunch of games you never thought could come to the Switch are coming to the Switch Pro, that's exciting stuff. You know, new hardware is always exciting. A new Metroid 2D game, if that looks decent, that could be very exciting. I think Nintendo's in a very strong position to have a very good and exciting E3. Already, we are in the meaty part of the curve of Switch hardware sales, and now they're going to introduce new hardware that might even amplify that even more. Yeah, it's that they have a really good chance to build on the excitement that they already have harnessed to great effect throughout these last couple of years. From Demon King, Fable or Omen at E3, maybe? Omen, yes, probably. And probably, like, it's a game they haven't shown before, so probably a CG trailer, right? Fable is in that weird spot where they're not ready to show gameplay, so they're not going to. From Warren Vrex, any news from WB Games on the merger or upcoming E3? Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. Still haven't heard much about what exactly is going to happen with everyone there, and like where each studio is going to go, where everyone's going to end up. They're still figuring that stuff out, but they still need to sell those video games, so they will likely still show up at E3. Dennis J. Someone has already posted about this on Gaming Leaks Reddit, and they said you've confirmed that the Switch Pro won't launch until next year in Europe or in Japan. Could you maybe clarify that you were speculating so people don't go wild? Jesus Christ. I was speculating. God damn it. I literally ended that whole thing with don't write a story about this. Don't post it on Reddit. I guess I didn't say that. Fuck you. You people are maniacs. Thank you, Dennis J, for letting me know that. That's frustrating. Savvy Zor, no way. Witnessing your stream for the first time live. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate that. Thank you for all your work. Absolutely. I have one question. Do you know what is happening around WB Games? Okay, more WB Games questions. We're going to find out. We'll see something from WB in 2 weeks. We will. Mopopolis, 35th anniversary of Metroid this year. I could see a bundle. I think they'll acknowledge Metroid 35th anniversary, which seems pretty strange, but they might actually do that. From Hero Select, it's 4:30 a.m. here. Hello. Also, there's slight rumbling that they might add multiplayer back to Mass Effect 3. Heard anything about that? I have it, but I also haven't asked. And I just thought that seemed unlikely because Mass Effect 3 multiplayer is already running still, and the old Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, you could still go play that right now. They haven't ever turned that off, and so you've like this dedicated audience of people who continue to play that version. I guess maybe what they've seen is that all of those people have stopped playing because they started playing Mass Effect again or something, and they think, well, maybe give those players something. I don't know. It just, how do you figure out the microtransactions? Are you going to do that again? Or you just kind of give it to people? It's a tough one for me. I don't see that really working, but I have not asked. From WizKid, any chance that Sony will do anything else for June, July, a la a big showcase like last year? I think in July or August, they'll do a summer state of play. I don't think they'll do it in June. Maybe, but it seems very unlikely. You know, they got, if they've shown what they have to show for Horizon, what, like, for their next show, I guess they'll have more games. They're going to have new games to announce, new partnerships, new third-party exclusives. Absolutely. They could put a show together for June. Absolutely. And then, you know, maybe just show a minute of Horizon and announce a date. But I think if you're going to announce a date, why not wait till later in the summer? Also see what Ratchet does. See how Ratchet does. Ratchet's a PS5 exclusive game. See if you need to put anything else out like super fast after that. I think this thing with Horizon Forbidden West and its release date is less to do with its state, like whether or not it's done or not and whether or not it's ready, as opposed to Sony just trying to get a read on the market and what it should be doing to get the best results. And so it's waiting for a bunch of other stuff to fall into place, not just with its own company, but with publishers that are competing and publishers that are partners. And like some of these companies, like, oh yeah, we might have a third party exclusive that could be ready this year, but we're not committing to a date just like you're not. Sony's going to wait until all this stuff kind of falls into place, and then they'll announce a date as it gets closer. And while they're in this like uncertain period about what the fall is going to look like, it kind of doesn't behoove them to do another state of play when they could just wait until later in the summer and announce that stuff then. I think it's July or August. From Soldada, sure I'm saying that wrong, Did you see the content of the Square Enix leak from last week? I did, and we talked about that a little bit, because that Guardians of the Galaxy game is... they might have announced it. I think they might have, like, announced that way back when. But, like, I think that's part of the leak. That's what I talked about last week. And then Final Fantasy Origins, stuff like that. I don't know if I saw everything. I saw what was going around. I didn't, like, try to hunt down anyone who had it to say, hey, give me this stuff. Other people seem to have the full contents, and... it seems to line up with the stuff I've heard. From Blackheart Vinyl, if you could sum up your feelings about E3 this year with a song title, what song would it be? I'm terrible at recalling information from my brain like this. This is the ADHD. I'll try to think about it and get back to you, see if anything comes to me. Dawson, is Nintendo E3 going to be early and release the Pro hardware, or is it going to be two separate shows? Is Nintendo E3 going to be early and released Pro, or is it, it's not going to be two separate shows. If they do, I think this is what you're asking. If they announce the Switch Pro hardware before E3, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like a showcase. I think it'll be a blog post, a tweet, and a trailer. And we'll probably see Rooftop Party, like, Switch Karen show up again. Not really. They'll do a video like that, where it's like, here is the tone we're trying to set for this new piece of hardware. Here's why it's professional. Here's why you're gonna have FOMO like a mother, and you're gonna, like, really regret not buying it if you miss out on this. We'll tell you the details later, because we're goddamn Nintendo, and we don't need to tell you. You're gonna want to buy it anyhow. And then at E3, they'll tell us more details. That's how I see it going. And we'll see. We'll think. Speculation. Reddit. You goddamn animals. Sorry, it's 2:35 a.m. I'm feeling saucy. All right. A lot of questions about Warner Brothers. Do you think Warner will show many of their cards to bolster their price for sale? I mean. I don't know. It's because are they for sale? It's just they're spinning it off to Discovery. And does it benefit them to try to bolster their sale, like bolster their stock price while doing that? Or does that just make investors say, hey, why are you doing that? Or why aren't you trying to sell? So I don't know if that would be involved in the motivation there. That stuff is complicated and messy. And the reality is that investors wouldn't really fully understand the implications of a bunch of games being shown anyhow, because investors are very, very stupid. It's one thing you got to know about investors. They're very stupid. They don't know. They're like, oh, Pokemon Go is doing very well. Let's buy Nintendo stock. Not exactly related to Nintendo, you morons. So it's that sort of situation where trying to play investors like that, or trying to play the market like that by positioning yourself as more valuable than it is a play that can work, but in a situation where that is this confusing, it would just be more noise and not much signal, I don't think. From the Aussie legend, do we think that games like Control that are already streamable on the Switch will get native versions on the Switch Pro? I wonder about that, and, like, do you automatically get it? Because you bought the version that streams to the Switch. Do you just get the Switch Pro version? I doubt it. Mostly, I doubt that the people involved would want to just do the work, but I guess those games could sell again to another audience that didn't want to buy the streamable version. I think it's possible. We'll see. There's going to be a mess there with just Nintendo having to help publishers navigate. Like, we have a game that will work on the Switch Pro. It won't work on the Switch. Can we just release it on the Switch Pro? How do we, like, market that? Does that make sense? Will that upset Nintendo Switch owners? And are we even allowed to do this, Nintendo? Please? It's going to be a thing that they're going to have to navigate and figure out. From Zyouter, thoughts on Infinite? Do you think 343 gets this one right? So let's talk about Halo. I don't know how people are going to react to Halo when they see it. I think that people are going to... I'll say this. Microsoft seems very keen, very interested on the idea of ensuring that Halo-ass Halo fans feel like they are being catered to. And so when we see Halo at E3, I think we're going to, most of us are going to get the impression that this is more Halo and not much else. I think that they are in a situation where, you know, we were talking about Obsidian and kind of planning for one thing, and then that means they didn't have the bandwidth to do Avowed, because planning, like creating these E3 assets takes a long time. I think everyone at 343 is so busy trying to make this game that they're not going to have a lot of time to like dedicate to a huge E3 presentation like I think we may have been thinking. So what we're going to get is a look at multiplayer that is going to look just like Halo multiplayer. It's going to look like Halo multiplayer. Like, people are talking about, hey, is Halo going to have, a battle royale or a new kind of multiplayer mode? And it might down the line, but at launch, it's going to be stuff like, hey, this game has Capture the Flag. This game has the stuff that you recognize from Halo, and it's going to look like it's going to have the grappling hook. It's going to have new stuff. But when it uses the grappling hook, it's probably going to look a lot like Halo, stuff like that. And then they're probably not going to be able to show, they're like reassure us that about the rest of the game. I don't think I don't know. I'm worried about the reaction, I guess, is how I would put it. I think that we're still going to have to wait to see this game for ourselves to know one way or the other. I don't think this E3 is make or break. I don't think it's going to even be that indicative of what the final product is going to feel like when we play it. But I do think the reactions are going to be pretty, I think maybe the Halo-ass Halo fans will come away and be like, this is actually what I wanted. Yes, just make this. And everyone else will be looking at it and be like, this is still doesn't look like it's for me. And this is supposed to be your biggest game. And I was kind of hoping this would be the Halo that either won me back or won me over for the first time. And that doesn't seem possible. And that's actually the challenge that I think 343 has been given. Win over a new audience. I just don't think this is the game that's going to do that. At least if it is, we won't see it for, you know, until it comes out, and then we'll know. I don't feel like that didn't answer your question, but I've just been thinking about Halo a lot, and that's what I've been thinking about. All right. I'm going to, let's see, how long have I been going? 32 minutes. Things always go a lot longer than I think. So I'm scrolling back to the bottom of the questions, to the most recent chat that you've just sent. If you had a question that you really wanted me to answer, send it again. I'll try to read it. One that I didn't answer, obviously. From Gira Coca. Jeff, will Microsoft show new Elite controller on June 13th? I don't know. I don't think so. From Geek Strawberry, Witcher 4 win, buddy. Years, man. Years. From Poochie, Everwild, ? No, period. Will Forza Motorsport be shown alongside Horizon 5? I don't think so. If they bring up Horizon, they'll probably have to mention Motorsport, and what they'll say is, Motorsport is working on the next generation of Forza tech, and this is the last version of the last generation of Forza Tech, and like with the Horizon model. And we're going to release this game. And then when you see us again, we will be using that next generation of Forza Tech. It's going to be something along those lines. They probably won't put it in so many words because they will want to focus on this Horizon, obviously. But that will be the implication when they bring up, if they bring up Motorsport. I'm scrolling down. From ProNoob395, does Sega still like Game Pass? They put Sonic on PlayStation Now. That's a good question. I don't know. I think they were... It's probably fine. So, that's a weird one for Sony to get. I don't know. Sony's probably just... Someone at PlayStation Now, there's probably a business manager there that's just like, we need to make some deals happen. I got a good relation with Sega. Get them on the phone. Let's get some Sonic on here. It's probably something along those lines. Unless I start seeing a larger pattern emerge, then maybe we'll reassess. But I bet it's just like one of those deals that sort of happens because they happen. From MRAP Brain, when do you think Microsoft will release one game a quarter? That's a good question. I think that because that's the pace that we are all anticipating that they one day will get to. I think they're going to, this is from their first party teams. If you're talking about like one AAA game per quarter, that'll probably begin sometime next year. But they'll probably hit one game a quarter for the rest of this year because we're going to have Psychonauts 2 in the summer. There's going to be something in the fall with Halo. And then, Forza Horizon is either this holiday or early next year. I've heard a lot of September for that game. When I looked around on that, September seemed like that was the only thing I confirmed was I didn't think September is wrong, but that doesn't mean it's not this year. But if it's not this year, it's early next year. So then you got Forza Horizon 5 early next year at the latest, please. Reddit, please. What else? What am I forgetting? Next year we'll get Starfield. So yeah, 2022, like I said a couple weeks ago. And everyone keeps saying that I said 2021. I said 2022. So that's like another game to fit into one of those quarters next year. I think they're kind of on pace already, right? I think, that Project Typhoon is not super close, but it's not so far out that it couldn't be like one of those quarters after that, after Starfield or something like that. I think they might miss a quarter next year. But after that, I expect them to fully be on pace to maintain that into the future. So, yeah. Good question. From Constant Vigilance, is BioShock exclusive? You got to ask Nick. Go to Xbox Era and ask Nick. He knows better than me. Demon King, we love you, Jeff. Thank you, Demon King. Love you, too. Let's see here. I'm gonna start wrapping up, so I'm gonna see if I can find some questions that I can sufficiently answer. Right, wrong, any chance of a Splinter Cell anytime soon? I think we talked about this one a few times. It seems unlikely. You got to keep in mind that Ubisoft wants to make the kind of game that is huge and people will play for a very long time. Splinter Cell is not conducive to that. On top of that, Ubisoft delayed all of their games by a year, trying to make sure that all of those games are as good as they possibly can be. And I think that they like the idea of them being like, okay, now let's go spend that some time on Splinter Cell instead of continuing to work on these franchises that we have in pretty good shape, but we don't want to mess them up. I think it's unlikely. The best bet here for something like this to happen would be Microsoft coming in and funding it, right? A third first party deal similar to Mario plus Rabbids between Nintendo and Ubisoft. Not fund it, but like partner with it hardcore, and probably pay for quite a bit of it. That seems like something that could happen. But I don't know. Ubisoft is a big company, but they're big because all those studios are busy working on things, and to peel some of them off to work on a Splinter Cell seems unlikely. I always think that they should try to find a way to make that Chaos Theory multiplayer. I think it was Chaos Theory. Make that multiplayer work in a way that it's like free to play and gets a big audience. That also seems unlikely, especially since they already have Rainbow Six Siege and they'll just want people to go play that. From William Tang, do you think new gameplay for God of War will be shown anytime soon? I think it will be. I think we might see it. The next time we have a state of play, I think we'll probably see something from God of War. And then they'll want to couple that with, and it's coming out 2022, because they did say 2021 the last time they talked about that game. From Alpha Beats, any possible Microsoft acquisition at E3, or will they only focus on Xbox plus Bethesda? It's possible. I've said this a bunch of times too. These companies want to spend the money they have. The money they have on their books right now is burning a hole in their pocket. It is inflation's a problem that all of these big companies are worried about. Their money's going to be literally worth less in a year than it's worth right now. Biden's very likely going to get some taxes passed that will specifically target giant corporations with a lot of money, especially giant corporations have a lot of money sitting in their bank accounts. Get that out of the bank account before the taxes come back. So spend that money. And I think that it's the problem continues to be Who are you going to buy? Who is available? What makes sense? Obviously, I think WB now makes more sense than it did a few weeks ago. I still don't know how much many of those studios were. The things I've heard about that are, once the WB spinoff deal got into works, everyone with any money, Sony and Microsoft included, but probably like Tencent, all picked up their phones and said, hey, what is going on? Are you interested in selling anything? And the same problems that cropped up the last time the WB, purchase rumors spun up, still exist. And that is, you could buy a studio like Rocksteady, very talented, but what you are buying is a lot of people you have to pay a lot of money to, and then you have to go and license a bunch of DC characters on top of that, and then that's a nightmare. So you're basically just paying a lot of money to spend a lot of money and then spend even more money on the lawyers to get those deals done. That's not attractive. That's like a, you're buying a headache there. And maybe in the end a deal gets struck and it's worth it, but there's enough hurdles there that would prevent that from actually going through. And we saw that. That's what happened last time. It just wasn't worth it to anyone. Maybe now that these studios are on their own, it makes a little bit more sense. But still, I would just imagine, like, why not, in this confusion, spin up a new studio with the talent from Rocksteady and say, hey, do you want to just get out of that mess? Come here and work at PlayStation, work at Microsoft, and just do your own thing. Start up Rocksteady 2, the sequel, the studio. Yeah, it's the kind of thing where that would make more sense. It saves a bunch of money, and you're probably going to get the same or better results if you do that. The one obvious exception there is NetherRealm. With NetherRealm, almost certainly you could also get the Mortal Kombat IP. I think that would make a lot more sense to WB to sell Mortal Kombat with the studio that makes Mortal Kombat games. Like, sure, you got a bunch of movies, but you could always include, like, hey, we're going to keep the movie rights for this, as long as we keep making movies based on it, and just they're ours, and technically you own it, but the movie rights are going to stay with us as long as we maintain this movie franchise. They could always make something like that work. I don't know. NetherRealm, it also seems just like pretty far-fetched. It seems like a tough thing to make happen. A lot of studios, first of all, it's a fighting game, and Microsoft, while it would be great to have a fighting game, definitely less interested in fighting games than PlayStation. So if someone's going to buy NetherRealm, why wouldn't it be PlayStation? I don't know. It's something I can't wait to see how it plays out, and I can't wait to see if Microsoft has some acquisitions. But from what I've heard, nothing has gone through for sure, but maybe there's been some rumblings I've missed out on. And I do know they want to spend that money, and that's a big motivating factor here. So if they can make something work, they will. But if there's just no one selling, that's the problem. From LRG46, is Kojima actually working on an Xbox game? It's like hard to know how to... Here's what I said. Microsoft and Kojima were having conversations. They were making a deal. They were in negotiations, and those negotiations had moved to the point that they were with the lawyers. That does not mean it was closing. It meant that they were still in negotiations, and now they were just in the lawyers are handling this part of the negotiations. I have not heard it close. I don't think a deal has closed yet. You won't hear about it at E3. Kojima not at E3. Because it's just too close. Even if it does close, they won't be able to plan enough to feel good about it. And Kojima likes to make an entrance, likes to plan, likes to troll people and stuff like that. But they're not going to rush it, and so we won't hear about it at E3. But I do expect the deal to close. I do think it will. But it hasn't yet, and so we live in reality. And I'm not in that room. I can't tell them to make it close just because you said they were having a conversation, and everyone takes that to mean that's definitely happening. But I expect that we will hear about it by the Game Awards. Why wouldn't we? Jeff Keighley, Kojima, best friends. Kojima. Sorry, I'm saying it wrong. Yeah, we'll hear about it then. All right, everybody. I'm running out of gas. So here's what we're gonna do. Let's go ahead and say goodbye to YouTube. Let's Thank YouTube so much for coming on this journey with us. And then I'll come back. We'll say goodbye to Twitch and answer a few maybe non-gaming questions if I find any. All right, YouTube, thank you so much for watching. Let's do some housekeeping. The Discord, join the Discord. I'll make sure the link is up to date in there. We had some problems with some bots last week causing issues in the Discord, and so we had to like lock stuff up a little bit. So a lot of the Discord links that were in previous videos don't work anymore. That's fine. If we get more problems with bots going forward, we might have to rethink how we do this. But for right now, Discord is still free, still open. And if you join, and one day if I do have to lock it down, then that would probably mean making it Patreon exclusive. If you are in the Discord when that happens, you are in the Discord, and that's that. Not gonna lock people out because they aren't in the Patreon. If you're already in, you're in. So if you want to join, do that now. I don't think we've had any more problems with bots, and this is not me like trying to work backwards into getting more money. This is not what I want to do with the Discord. It's just the bots are a headache. I don't pay my moderators. I should probably figure something out about that, but I don't want them taking up any of their time with any stuff like that. So if it becomes a headache, I will lock it down. But for now, the Discord is free, so join that. Enjoy it. And then, you know, speaking of the Patreon, you can find a link to that in there. It's patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. And that supports all my non-writing stuff. I do my writing stuff. I write for Games Beat and Venture Beat. The video stuff I do on my own. Podcast stuff, I pay for all that stuff myself. You can support that by going to patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. That gets you into secret channels inside the Discord. Thank you guys so much for watching. Chat, say goodbye to YouTube. Let's go wave them out of here. And then I'll say goodnight to you. Yeah, I need to do the exclamation point Discord thing.